Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast. This is a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris Wilcox. I'm here along with
John,
Sam,
and Sean.
And tonight's episode is going to be another fun episode. We have a Westworld review. The first episode started up on Sunday, and we'll be giving you a quick hot takes on that one. We also have a new thing called 1 minute movie reviews. And this is going to be for movies that we don't really want to see or are on the border of seeing. And then we're just going to give you a quick 1 minute.
At least one of us have seen
it. At least one of us have seen it, but nobody else is interested.
I think it's going to be like that one thing where one person saw a movie and we kind of want to keep you guys interested, kind of want to, you know, keep some information flowing out there. But we really don't have enough to talk about it with multiple people, so just quick hits.
So this episode, this 1 minute movie review will be with Sean.
Yeah, hey.
Sean saw Miss Peregrine's Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. So that will be 60 seconds hard hits with Sean for the 1 minute movie review.
I'm going to abbreviate it to Miss P.
Okay. You can do what you want.
No,
it's your minute. It's your minute.
I got a freaking minute here.
All right.
This has been in development for weeks.
And by weeks, we mean John brought it up 5 minutes ago.
So, and then we also have, Sean has a list for us to do. And this is a personal list for us. You'll find out with the topic. And then we are also going to finish our horror movie list. The remainder of the horror movies that you should watch for days 17 through 31 of the month of October. And then we can continue that. The first half was on the previous episode. So let's get into Westworld first. 2 out of 4 of us saw that, which is sad, but
my bad.
Westworld is a new sci-fi show that starts up at 9 o'clock. It's at 9 o'clock on HBO, and
every day of the week, as long as it's Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday nights. So, and it's on HBO Go afterwards, but it's a sci-fi show about a robot town and humans pay money to be integrated into this town, and the robots operate on some kind of schedule and essentially repeat a day, sort of like Groundhog Day, but with a lot more detail. So first up, John, what were your first impressions?
I'm in. I'm going to watch the next episode for sure. It's pretty great. Well, I shouldn't say great. Great's a strong word for like a 60-minute like pilot. But I really liked it, Chris.
I'm with you on that.
It's got some interesting stuff going on.
Who stuck out to you as the character you want to like kind of focus on?
Or a couple.
There could be a couple.
Okay. So, what do I got first? So, you got like just like Anthony Hopkins and I can't think of his name right now. It's not Edgar Wright.
Oh, Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright, yeah. They're doing their whole like programming the robots and stuff, and it seems like there's
they're kinda, like the creators and the maintainers of the robot programming.
Right. Like they're specifically sort of tasked with like the robots. So there's almost like sort of like two like split plots for the show. Like first one you have this whole like Wild West town with Wild West problems and stuff like that, when, you know, 90% of the people there are robots. But you're still kind of still like, you know, obviously interested. The other part is the actual running of the park and all that and the administration of it. So you've got like Jeffrey Wright and Anthony Hopkins chilling out and like a bunch of other people who I don't know their names off the top of my head. But what's kind of interesting here is that it sounds like there's kind of a plot sort of behind the scenes of like what the actual intention of Westworld is, like what it is to the company that runs it.
Yep.
But which seems like an odd thing for them to like just come out of the box in the first episode.
There's so many it's almost impossible to go into every single plot detail.
Could you tell J.J. Abrams that it's an executive producer with like the billion like threads they're just leaving out there ready for someone to like pull on them and like, you know, future episodes and seasons.
There's so many things that could become big plots, but they're all mini plots at this point. It's ridiculous.
Well, here's a very big thing about Sunday. So it drew 3.3 million viewers, which beats Game of Thrones.
Well, the original premiere,
which got 2.2 million.
Yeah, right. Because I was going to say Game of Thrones, I think now is at 11 million.
Right. Oh, no, it's 23 point something. Yeah, it's a lot. But this got a lot of viewers right out of the gates for a pilot episode, basically.
I mean, can it keep it? That's
right.
That's, yeah. Well, it definitely didn't like disappoint. Like, I mean, HBO had one earlier this year called Vinyl that like, the show got canceled after one season, and like people who stuck around, like the season did get better. But they had this like 2-hour pilot directed by Martin Scorsese that was like really long, like it felt like 4 hours. This one, I don't want to say it went by like really quick, but like it was great. Like it was just as an entertainment and a spectacle. Like Chris, like the scenes you get in this of just like all these wide shots of like the trains going by and like them like riding horses like across all these mesas, like
the opening,
it's beautiful.
The opening. Where they're showing like the tendons, the robot like draw the tendons and everything. That was just
awesome. The opening credits.
Not even that, and then they showed you also like how they made them throughout the episode. You can kind of see the detail was phenomenal. It has to be
well,
an expensive show.
It's definitely the kind of show where it's like this is created like a big world, and I really want to see more of it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So basically, they 3D print these robots.
Right.
Okay. So it's a giant 3D printer printing out all these robots. I've seen some
of the
pictures of like the white robot.
I don't know. They don't get into that as much.
Right.
You'll see it.
One thing I sort of found interesting is this whole like Ed Harris character. Right. He's just kind of like off in his own movie.
He's definitely he's human, right?
Yes,
we think he's human.
I mean, he claims to be, and the logic he presented, it would seem that yes, he's actually human.
Yeah. So,
his mind doesn't reset.
No, but I think he kind of, I don't know. There's something going on with him, but I would like to see where he's going with that.
Like crazy, way too early theory here. He's actually a good guy. Even though, like, he rapes a character, like, within, like, what, 5 minutes of the beginning of the show?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
good guy's, like, a strong
word.
Well,
to find a good, we don't know who's good or bad here.
I think
he's
trying to investigate, like, what the fuck's going on with, like, the company behind it and shit.
Maybe.
That's my guess, but that it really matters.
I like that, and then I like Jeffrey Wright. I think he's interesting. Yeah. He's an interesting guy.
What'd you think of that shootout at the end, like with painted black?
That was nuts.
It was nuts, but the only problem with it is like I didn't really understand like why did they do that whole like elaborate plot or whatever? Like not the actual
had to recall a bunch of robots. So like the main story was just out of whack. So he had to I'm assuming he's the head writer for the storyline. He had to come up with something to get everybody like essentially
in one place and
factor out these, what is it, 20% they had to recall, whatever had to do something to essentially negate that whole story. So if they just said let's bring in this guy,
because there's like a giant shootout that like kills like a fuckload of people
and have him fuck everything up, then stories are ended essentially. Okay. So you know, I don't know what's going on, but the thing is, it's such a good show, and it's not. I kept thinking I could watch this show and be like, you know, sit back and enjoy and relax. No. You need to sit up and pay attention.
Yeah,
and it makes you think while you're doing this, trying to put the pieces together, and that's the signs of a good show.
Yeah, it's definitely one you probably best serve by watching again. Chris, did you play Red Dead Redemption at all?
No, I did not.
This show.
I did.
Exactly like that game.
Nice.
Not in the sense of, like, it feels like you're playing that game. Like, they're, like, walking through town, like, guys, like, hey, we got this bandit up in the woods. You want to help us to come and get him? And there's just so many things where it's like, oh, I could go talk to this guy and go on this adventure. Or I could go talk to this guy and do this thing. Like,
And something, it looks like something is up with the robots. In a sense that they might have developed, not feelings, but sensors.
Right.
So remember at the end with the fly?
Right.
Yeah, so a fly would just go in a robot and a robot wouldn't know. But and they show that throughout the episode, like a fly is on the right. robot, and well, they don't yeah. do anything.
Specifically, they're not supposed to hurt like any living things. Like the whole deal with Westworld is that, you know, the hosts, the robots, aren't like supposed to like hurt you. That's why the beginning with, you know, Ed Harris is talking to I forget what the actual guy's name is, but James Marsden, the actor, he is talking to him because you think James Marsden's a real dude the whole time. And then, yeah. like, Ed Harris shoots him, yeah. and, like, James Marsden can't shoot Ed Harris. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. And then, I think it's a great pilot, and it's got me going into the next episode.
Now, Sam, because you and I have seen the original Westworld.
Yeah.
The movie. How intrigued are you to watch this pilot now?
It's so hard to describe the plot to you.
Not any more than I was before.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm gonna watch this,
it's right? Just, like, as long as it has the same things that go on in the movie, like, I'm not gonna spoil it for you guys because you haven't seen the movie. But the stuff that happens in the movie, I mean, as long as the same kind of plot happens, I'd be okay with it. I'm very confused on how this is becoming a TV show, though.
Yeah,
I think maybe you get the overlay. But like
from what I heard,
you have to really like not stretch it out like in a bad way, but like you wouldn't have things condensed like this quickly. Like, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. From yeah. what I've heard is that the next seasons they're going to introduce the other park, because in the movies there was like medieval right. park and
right.
like some.
Well,
other,
they haven't even
like
discussed
time
any of that yet.
Yeah, but
we're still just getting going.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Apparently but. They're going to like go into those later.
That'd be pretty cool.
Now, Chris, was it when when Anthony Hopkins is like in this cooler thing, which is like just guy. The creepiest place, and then like drinking with the old guy, and then the old guy like zips himself up. Was that not like
little,
like freaky
to
you?
Freaked out, yeah. I was a little freaked out by that. And he's like, "You'll put yourself back, right?" I'm like, well, "Okay." And then he just lies down and puts himself in a body bag. it's weird. It was a super weird show, but it's really. Good. I mean, you really can't take the cast. When you look at it at face value, it should be a fantastic show, and it yeah. really hasn't let down.
The only thing it's kind of curious so far, to me so how they take care of it, and I'm sure like they found a way. But you know, the first episode is like all about this like resetting narrative, like almost like every 20 minutes it kind of like kicks back up again. You obviously can't do that the entire length of the show, or even like if they do that again like the next episode, like more than like
I bet you it's going to be all that it's going to be a trickle down effect now. So it's going to be because they had the recall because one of them was defective or something, and then they had to recall all of them,
right?
But I think it's just going to be a trickle down thing now where it's just kind of infecting the rest of the robots in the story.
Yeah,
so I think that's where it's at right now. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't possibly tell you what the show is going to be or where it's going to go.
Absolutely not. But there's no indication.
It's after this, though. There's like 1,000 different ways it could go. And I'm interested to see where it goes. So.
Yes, definitely. So next week on Sunday night, and then we should have we might be able to discuss it a little bit.
Depends who watches it, who doesn't.
It depends how much further in the story they go, too, because it's hard to process one episode. You might actually need to be 3 episodes deep to say, okay, well, this is the plot, because I can't do that now.
Yeah. But, I'd imagine, like I said, the world is just so huge that I'd imagine there's still going to be a lot thrown at you the next couple weeks. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it's still pretty, so far so good. I think, personally, I'm kind of hooked on it, so I'll watch it from here on out. You too.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. Like I said, there's no idea if it's going to be an interesting story or anything like that. But like, just like even those action scenes, like I said, like the big like wide shots. Oh, it's just an absolutely like gorgeous, just like well done show. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'll stick around for a bit.
Very well filmed. All right, so that does it for Westworld. We're gonna move on to something we just created.
Oh,
the
boy.
1 minute. Movie review.
This might be the first and last 1 minute movie review. We're not sure.
If you like it, if you like it, we'll do more. If not, we'll stop.
I'm gonna coin this right now. We're gonna call this OMR 1 minute movie review. OMMR. OMR.
So that's Omer. The first and last time we're going to call it Omer.
Yeah.
The carotene.
So Sean has 60 seconds. He's going to saw Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. He's going to have 60 seconds
to review it.
And one sort of added thing here is I'm going to play a song while he's reviewing it and keep turning it up louder and louder to just drain him out like the longer he goes. So.
Either that or we'll just start talking about Luke Cage.
Basically, you're going to start playing me off.
Yes.
Don't put it on.
To play fair, I will keep the headphones on. Because it's so easy.
It's not going to be super loud. But
no, yeah. I know, but it'll be distracting if I can hear it. If I can't hear it, I would be fine.
All right.
Oh, okay.
So you have you have the stopwatch ready?
Oh, boy.
All right, so ready?
All right, well, hang on.
Oh, my God, John.
Right, ready?
Okay.
All right.
Set. Go.
Okay, so Mrs. P, it's a story about a kid in like modern day, finds out his grandfather is telling all these stories about monsters and stuff. He travels to this, the grandfather dies. He travels to this island that the grandfather said had a kid's home on it, goes there, finds Mrs. Peregrine and all the other kids. Then finds out that there's these things that are killing people called Hollows, which basically look like Slenderman with... And turns out that his grandfather and him, they're special. They can see these things. Bad guy is Samuel L. Jackson. Awesome. He's hysterical. This is actually pretty distracting because I want to sing now. So basically, there's time travel in it. Like the peculiar people, they can set up a time loop where they just keep replaying the same day over and over and over again. And they can time hop from place to place to place. There's several of these schools. Very good. It is a Tim Burton movie, but I was very surprised because it didn't rub off.
Stop.
Time.
Oh,
damn. That wasn't bad.
All right. So let's shut off this disaster piece of music.
All right.
Phil freaking Collins. Come on.
Should have put it on the beginning of it anyway.
So what would you grade it?
I was entertained. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a grading scale set up right now. But if I said like out of five being like really like the best thing I've ever seen, I would probably give it a good like 3.5.
Okay.
What movie is it like?
I don't know. I really can't compare it to much because
Are you saying it's unique?
No,
and it is strange, like Tim Burton.
No, it is.
Is it peculiar?
The thing that I just ended this 1 minute review on is, yes, it's directed by Tim Burton, but you really couldn't tell.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't like the stripes and the animated stuff. Like, it wasn't like Beetlejuice or Pee-wee Herman or like any of those kind of movies, or even like his more modern ones like Sweeney Todd or anything. It wasn't really like that.
So would you wait to see it? Should I spend money to go see it?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, looking at it, I was like, nah, I could wait. But because Amy read the books, she wanted to go see it. So I took her to go see it. And I was actually entertained. So I didn't really have a high...
So we're talking like on demand, $4.99.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind on demand or Redbox or something like that.
Okay.
Makes sense. But yeah, Samuel L. Jackson is the bad guy. Definitely recommend that. He was awesome.
All right.
So he was funny.
Let's move on from that. Actually, that wasn't bad.
No, it was tough.
You went pretty well with that. So next up we have, Sean has a list.
And, back to me.
So you wanna take it away?
Okay, so the list. One day I will have a theme song. So
because the list, your list is on my list. I didn't realize everyone was just going to stop and listen to me singing Hall & Oates.
Just forgot we were recording or something.
Okay, so this week's list, I made it very easy for everybody to come up with something. So we're going Mount Rushmore of your favorite movies.
What is with you and Mount Rushmore?
Well, because like this first or second time I did the list, John brought up the Mount Rushmore, basically doing top four. So I just went with the Mount Rushmore of.
So you should just call it Mount Rushmore.
No, it's the list.
Hang on. I can't think of anything witty.
Oh, okay. So these aren't the best movies we've ever seen. These are our favorite movies. So they don't have to be a good movie to enjoy it. Like, you know.
I mean, it helps.
It, well, eh.
Although sure. One of mine
Yeah, exactly. Really doesn't. So I'm going to go, usually I go Sam first, but I'm going to go John first this time.
Ooh. Ooh.
Switching things up.
Okay.
Which one did not win an award?
What award?
Any award of your list. Which one did not win an award? Are there any that did not win an
award? Are you talking like Best Picture?
Anything.
Any awards, I guess, is what he's saying.
I mean, there's a lot of awards out there.
There's a lot of awards, because
I've got one that I'm not sure if it did.
Okay.
All right, well, okay. Let's start at the top then.
All right. I'll start at the top with... do we want to do descending order or not? Well, these are all kind of...
Yeah, it's just the Mount Rushmore.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm going to go with a fun one, Jurassic Park.
Good. Good movie.
Which is absolutely my favorite movie from childhood. You know, as a, like, you know, five-year-old boy or whatever, friggin' love dinosaurs.
It scared the shit out of me.
They made a dinosaur movie. So you're like, yeah, dude, I'm in. I've probably seen it 100 times. And I just love it so much. I like, you know, read the book. The book kind of has like some nice, like sort of expanding details, but the movie's just kind of great in and of itself. And that's why, you know, when they came out with the Jurassic World, which was sort of somewhere between a remake and a reboot, even though, I mean, it was technically a sequel. It was great. It was like going right back in. Not quite the same effect, but no, what makes Jurassic Park great is just... Yeah, kind of like what we were talking about with Westworld, which kind of funny, but there's just a great
the connection.
Yeah, I don't either. It's weird. just an incredible attention to detail. There's like a thousand. I mean, like you go back to the introduction movie when they go to the park and like John Hammond's like talking to the wall, like that's just fantastic to me. All right, moving on. My next movie I'm gonna go with is Goodfellas, which. To me, it might be, like, my favorite movie. I'd almost maybe call it, well, it's up there for me for, like, just best period. But, I mean, it's the shit they do in there. I mean, like, the one shot where they have where they're going through the restaurant is just awesome. Like, it's just, like, the classic, like, single take, like, Steadicam shots. And it's just, oh, love it. What else about Goodfellas?
You don't need to go any further.
All right.
you don't need to go any all further.
Right. What, all right. So, well, I'm going all artsy-fartsy, I guess. Next one, I'll say There Will Be Blood, which is awesome for two reasons. First one is Daniel Day-Lewis just going, like, to 12 on the 10 scale of just, like, absolutely, like, fucking crazy. Like, I could totally, like, just quote, like, random things from him. Like, you know, just, like, start yelling, drainage! Drainage! Ugh. Just another solid one. Paul Thomas Anderson directing another, just, like, you know, you're talking about with Westworld, too. Just, like, oh, that movie's just absolutely fucking gorgeous.
This has no reason to not be your favorite TV show, by the way, given all that you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Every favorite movie is referencing Westworld.
I keep referencing Westworld. Remember, too, I was like, oh, they should make, like, Jurassic Park the show, and that's practically what this is.
Yeah.
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 What was my last one? Oh, last one. I'm going to go Coen Brothers here, The Big Lebowski. Just yeah. As a comedy, just my absolute favorite. Just, I mean, like any other asshole, I just quote it like repeatedly all day, every day. Oh, it's so good. And it's, I watched it the first time. It was on like cable. Like a lot of the swears were like edited out, which when you go back and watch it a second time, it's hilarious what some of the things are.
That it goes down to like one of the best. Swear edits of all time.
Yeah,
TV show.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Didn't quite get it, but on further watchings, it just opens up and it's like, oh wait, there's really no point to the movie. It's just like them fucking around the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's my list.
Okay,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going Sam now.
Whoa!
Changing things up now. Chris was ready, but I threw.
I was ready.
Going across the table. All right, so my first one up here is just a movie that I enjoy. It's just fun and it makes me laugh because it at times gets really campy. Independence Day, the original.
Yeah.
Just like why do the aliens blow up only the monuments?
Why not?
Like, why is it that they have to fly into the ship at the end? Like,
because they have to infect the computer.
No,
with a virus.
No, why does Randy Quaid have to fly into it?
Because it was gonna fire on the base.
And how does one ship, one plane take it down?
Because they fired at the same time, and then
yeah, because they hit it at like the weak point.
Here's the thing, Sam. Your movie was heavily influenced by one of my movies.
No one had missiles left.
I know it. Oh, now I know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really, you put that on there? Okay.
Anyways, next.
Anyways, next one. It's
what's your favorite quote?
Oh please!
Oh man.
So many good quotes.
I know.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
I was. You there know what? So it's just that ones. Entire speech that the president gives.
Oh, yeah. Bill Pullman's speech is amazing.
That's like, I can't quote it verbatim, but it's just great.
I saw a great supercut the other day. It was like Jeff Goldblum figuring stuff out. And it's just him like half like saying sentences, just being like, oh. Most of it is from Independence Day. Anyway. Sorry.
Anyways.
Highly recommend, though.
I've always loved the series, the James Bond series, and this is my favorite, Casino Royale.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Going with the unauthorized...
No. No. I'm going with the TV movie. this is the first one, Daniel Craig. It really changed up the series that was getting kind of stale. You know, after like 20-some-odd movies at that point, it was like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah,
and then turning him into like some like hitman for the British government who has like drinking problems and a womanizer and all that, and really changed up the character. It made it fresh again, and I really enjoyed it. Next one, it's a movie that a lot of people feel over time has sort of not been that great, but I just enjoy it.
Birth of a Nation. Sorry.
Like, I thought about putting that on there as a joke, but then I was like, no, that's a bad taste.
I'm expecting Batman Superman.
A Beautiful Mind.
Ooh.
I think it was that was 2001?
Expecting that one.
Yeah, I was not expecting that either.
One Best Picture that year, but it's a lot of people felt like it's kind of like lost its jazz over the years, but I've gone back and watched it, and I enjoy that movie. It's a nice movie.
It's on HBO like right now too.
Oh wow. Well. But and last, it's my favorite movie. It's Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's just a great movie.
A lot of these movies, you don't have to, like, explain.
No, right? Yeah, no, because we've all heard of them or they're famous movies.
If you haven't seen Full Metal Jacket, just watch it. It's technically two movies.
Yeah. It's funny because I actually saw it in, like, four parts. But they're all over a course of 7 or 8 years. And then I finally put it together.
There's a few that I'm surprised are missing from your list, like Gettysburg.
Yeah, I was thinking like Glory would be on your list.
No. For him, Civil War, it'd be Gettysburg. Would be your favorite, right?
Favorite? Yeah, probably Gettysburg.
Yeah,
would
be yeah.
That'd be mine. I watch it every year on like the days.
One through
like three? On the 1st of July, 2nd of July, 3rd of July. It's a nice way to break up a 4-hour movie, too.
That's that's valid. That's valid.
Okay, well, right. Chris, am ready for yours? Okay.
So, I like everybody... not like everybody. I know this is on the back of. I wrote
it
on
like
a post-it note.
He's reading it off his license.
Yeah, I wrote it on a post-it note. But I started off with 10 because I have 10 favorites, and then I had to whittle it down.
Christ.
I had to whittle it down, obviously. And then I'm like, all right, well, what movie do I own? And then okay, so I'm back down to 10, and then I'm like, what movie do I have to watch when they're on the TV? And then I was down to about 10. And then, I did it to 5. I'm putting Trump on my
Rush. Oh, God, no.
So I have 5. First one, Rocky 4.
Ooh, wait. Which one is that?
4 with the Russian.
Oh, okay.
So good. The symbolism in that movie is ridiculous if you put it in the time period.
It's not thrown in your face at all.
Nope, it's not their own interface at all. It makes you really excited to be an American with that movie. It was just a great. If they ended at Rocky IV and then skipped all the way to Creed, I'd be happy. You know, it was a great way to end a series. And plus, Sly Stallone didn't really write most of that movie, so that was good. Next one would be Saving Private Ryan.
Oh yeah,
you really cannot. I cannot explain that any further on how good that movie really was, because it really just started the whole new age war movies and just the way that they're filmed and like the realities of war, essentially.
War isn't glorified anymore, kind of thing.
It explains what it is. Like, that was the first 30 minutes of that movie.
Oh, yeah. D-Day alone. Yeah.
Easily insane. The most emotionally touching for some people.
Sam, is that the best Ted Danson movie?
Wow. Way to do that.
Touching moment, and you brought it down.
So a little all right, let's move on to a little bit more light movie. Iron Man.
All right.
Would be the third one. Mm-hmm. It's just that first scene where he flies. Not like in the big suit, like Mach 1 or whatever it was, like the Mach 3 where he actually flies in the silver suit. That was just so exciting just to see that one scene. I don't know why. It just was. It was like seeing the Transformers scene when the helicopter came.
It
was the best, one of the best scenes, just excitement-wise, because you're a kid. And then you were kids when this was big. So
I was exciting because you're like, oh, my God. And then the rest of the movie happened.
Then Shia LaBeouf started talking.
Just take out Shia LaBeouf. All right. This next movie, you guys... Well, you know it, but it might not be considered favorites to some, but this is probably what made me go into business in the first place.
Ooh.
Business.
Trading Places. Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Nice.
And who was the other one?
Let me ask you, how long did it take you to figure out what they actually do in the end?
It took me... Oh, God. Years, maybe?
I have a degree in accounting, and I took plenty of finance courses, and I only figured it out, well after I graduated.
Oh, no. I knew this before, I want to say, my sophomore year in college. I saw it when I was younger, obviously, but then I watched it again in college, and then after going through, a course or two, you kind of figure it out, and then you're like, oh, well, all right, now I know what they're doing. But I think it was a great movie. I think it was hilarious. But you needed to know certain things about the markets to understand some of the things they were talking about. And basically the whole premise of the movie. But all right, so then this one you won't appreciate. But this is the one. This is my Trump on the Rushmore.
Oh, boy.
I have to watch it every single time it's on. For some reason, I have to watch it. And if it's halfway through, I need to start all the way at the beginning.
Oh, yep.
And it's such a... weird thing, and for some reason they decided to make two more movies after
it. Oh, okay.
Starship Troopers.
Oh, my God.
It is so high up there on my list. I need to watch it whenever it's on. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man.
It's not... I don't know if it's my favorite movie out of everything, but it's definitely in the top five because... It's so bad. It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those so bad. It's great.
An army guy fighting fucking bugs on a planet. And in the end, it's this brain bug that controls everything. I mean, come on.
I'll give that movie one thing. I love the effects. The effects were amazing.
It's so cheesy. It's such a cheesy fucking movie, but it's so good. But that has to be. I cannot not watch it when it's on TV. And it's only on TV. It's nowhere else. But I cannot not watch it.
You can buy it.
Well, no, I do. I own it. But it's stored away somewhere. But all right. Well, now that everybody had seriously good movies, I had bad movies, but they're my favorite.
Don't worry.
Saving Private Ryan. That's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's now the only one that won an award, I think.
So when I think of my favorite movies, this is a list where if I'm sick and I'm basically couch stricken and I have to watch a movie, not a TV show, because I usually binge watch My favorite thing when I'm sick is the Muppets. Binge watch like the Muppet TV show. Great, because it's funny, but it can be serious. And it's always entertaining. Okay, Sam. So this is my Mount Rushmore favorite movies. These movies I love watching. Pretty sure you will never find these on TV. Well, one of them you do now. The other three you will never see on TV. So
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Is it Star Wars?
I will start with Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Empire.
No, Return of the Jedi.
Ooh, I thought it would be Empire.
Return of the Jedi is always my favorite because I was a kid when I watched it, and it was the whole Ewok effect. Because, like, if you were born after a certain date, you thought that Ewoks were cute because they were teddy bears.
Oh, right.
So you loved that movie, but if you were born before that date, you hated them because they were goofy and, like, cute and whatnot. So, I mean... It's tough. So, like, I was born on the right side of that date. So, I love the little teddy bears running around and stuff. And then, on top of that, the whole Jabba the Palace scene, like, I absolutely loved it. I mean, you got more of Boba Fett, sort of. Probably, like, a minute more. But I did, and, like...
To make a total of 7 minutes.
Yeah. But then, like, the whole Yoda scene there and, like... It has my favorite song from Star Wars, which is Final Duel, which is when Vader's like, if you don't join me, perhaps I'll, you know, she will, talking about Leia. And he goes, no. And like out of anger and hatred, he comes out. One? Yeah. Where they start fighting. It's like, like that song. It's so like powerful because Luke, he's like dipping into the dark side and defeats Vader finally.
Just a dollop of the dark
side. Yeah, just a dollop of it. But like the hatred takes over and it's such a powerful scene of him defeating Vader that one time. It's amazing. I love it. And I mean, Empire is good too, but I basically grew up on Jedi. So that would be my number one. My next one is, so one of my favorite, I keep wanting to say graphic effects. No.
It should be pointed out to the listeners at home, Sean has the movies on him.
Yes, I have these movies on me. First of all, Return of the Jedi is in VHS. It is the digitally remastered edition. Not the special edition, not the DVD. No, this one. This is the best one because this is still has the Yub Nub song at the end.
Cool.
I know what that is.
Yeah. So for all those who know, that is like the way it should...
I don't know.
With musical cues by Sam.
I'm the song guy.
All right. What's the next one?
I absolutely idolize Ray Harryhausen and his special effects. And so I was like, this is one of those movies. This is my favorite that he's ever done. It is 20 million miles to Earth. Absolutely love that movie. It's basically what?
No, you mentioned like earlier, and I thought you would go with the other Ray Harryhausen movie.
Which one? He's done so many.
Earth versus Flying Saucer.
That is a good one. That, but no,
20 million. You mentioned like it taking from.
Oh no, that's totally Jedi. So much they took so much from Jedi for Independence Day. It's insane. Like even to end on the letterbox, like no movie did that back then. But like not even it was. Yeah, it was so Star Wars.
Earth versus Flying the Saucers, they blow up landmarks and stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, 20 million miles to Earth. Basically, it's about a boy who finds an egg. It hatches
and falls
into
in
this
love.
Hatches into Ymir, who's so awesome. I love Ymir, which is the creature. He basically has a mustache. made me want to grow a mustache one day. No. But the fight
someday
scene between...
Someday I'll fight an elephant.
Someday I'll fight an elephant. I was about to bring up the elephant, damn it. but the scene where he fights the elephant is just awesome. And like the scene on the Colosseum and everything. Oh, that movie was just great. And like one of Harryhausen's best. Next movie, because I love Godzilla.
No.
Yeah, like, so...
Are you guys as shocked as I am?
No, after seeing the 40 Godzilla DVDs in his basement.
It's 28.
Sorry, I'm off by 10.
So I went with the one that entertains me the most, and that is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Oh, God.
It's the monkey people that gave
Yeah, it's the monkey people. No, like the whole thing, the fight with King Caesar at the end, where King Caesar and Godzilla team up against Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, he just like randomly shows up.
Yeah, where they're like, let's pray to him for 5 minutes, and then like keep singing his song. Like, oh man, I love that movie.
Guy takes forever to get up.
Yeah, but when he does... He does it. He's not very effective, but he still wakes up.
I do love how it's clear these last two movies, only us two have seen them.
Yeah, no, like...
Yeah. No, I saw this one, but it was a long time ago.
It's also one of the few Godzillas with, I want to say, gore, quote-unquote gore. It looks like orange paint. But because he breaks Anguirus's jaw off, and there's blood everywhere.
Or does he?
No, he does. And they're like, they're friends, though. But then he gets shot, and then like no, Godzilla doesn't. It ends up being Mechagodzilla.
Yeah,
and Anguirus's jaw is still broken, Sam,
by Mechagodzilla.
Anyways, but and then Godzilla gets shot by Mechagodzilla, and he like there's blood spurting everywhere out of his like neck and stuff. And it's actually, if it was, it didn't look so obviously like orange paint. It was. It's actually kind of gory, like realistically. But my last movie, this is a Disney movie. An actual Disney movie.
No, that's not.
No, this Disney. Is an actual Disney movie, like Disney cartoon. This movie made me... God, no. This movie made me love and appreciate classical music. I'm going with Fantasia. Disney's Fantasia. Like, The Night on Bald Mountain, Bald Mountain with the demon guy. Like, it's so creepy that always, like, I love that one. And then The Rite of Spring with dinosaurs. Even though it was completely historically incorrect, it was still awesome watching as a kid. Especially, there's no words in the whole movie, so it's all... Basically, if you've never seen Fantasia, it's the Disney artists from back in the day. This is when like Disney was still alive. That's how long ago. But those artists, what they did is they listened to the music and then... They painted what they felt, like, or how they, what they were thinking about. And that's what this movie was. It was just an experiment by Disney's animation studios. And I absolutely loved it. I've never actually seen Fantasia 2000. I kind of refuse to, because for me, Fantasia was just so awesomely perfect.
That's a it's weird. It's Fantasia 2000.
Fantasia 2000. It's a dual disc.
Oh, it's weird. It's weird how in Fantasia 2000, when they try to replace John Belushi with John Goodman.
So I'm gonna leave now.
Oh God!
Right, that does it.
That and that is my Mount Rushmore. Is those four movies? Those are my favorite movies.
All right, well, that does it for that list. So now we're going to finish off our horror movie list. So we're going to do days 17 through 31.
The Knights of Nerditude Scarathon.
Knights of Nerditude. Well, that's what we're calling it. Yeah, it's the Scarathon. Yep, it's a Scarathon. So we already did 1 through 16. And on the 16th, just to finish it off from last week, we decided that on the 16th you should watch Insidious. You guys have all seen it. I have not seen it.
Yes.
So
I don't know if I've seen it.
Maybe on the 16th we'll watch that. But Sam, take it away. You can start off with 17.
So Monday the 17th. So if on Monday you watch Mama. Good alliteration there, guys.
Have some mimosas.
Yeah, put some mimosas.
I liked when this movie first came out. I didn't see it in theaters, but when it came out on like HBO or whatever it was, it was a little creepy to me.
Yeah,
especially the first act.
The first act is
first
awesome.
And second act were pretty good.
So
third one was okay.
This is one of those movies where if you've seen Mama and right now you're going, oh, this movie was awful. Watch the short. If you don't like the movie, watch the short that it came from.
Short is pretty good.
The short is creepy as hell.
It's funny. I've seen the short, not the movie.
Yeah, no, but like the short is just so creepy. It's filmed so it looks like it's all done in one shot, and it's amazing how the director was able to do that. And I mean,
we didn't say the short. We said the full movie on the 17th.
I'm saying if you're listening to this or seeing, if you read this on Facebook and you think, oh, I didn't like Mama, watch the short.
Okay. But if
you've never
watching
seen it,
Mama, watch. It's better if you don't see Mama. It was better when you didn't see her.
Yeah.
It was, you know, just the apparition. Once, yeah, that was awesome.
Once they ended up showing Mama in the movie, it kind of fell apart. But
you knew
that first act.
You knew where they were going.
That first act was awesome.
Yeah, first act would be good. kids freak me out.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on. On Tuesday the 18th, Zombieland.
Yes.
The comedy with Jesse Eisenberg.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
You never would have thought zombies would be funny, but they really did pull it off.
Oh, yeah. They weren't scary.
I was skeptical about this.
Like, that was the cool thing about it. It wasn't a scary movie. It was funny with zombies.
Yeah, a little bit of scare.
It wasn't
factor.
Really. Oh, well, yeah, there it was wasn't a couple, really a like, comedy horror. It was just kind of a straight comedy.
Yeah, it was a comedy, but they were like, oh, by the way, zombies.
Yeah. It was good. Fantastic.
I mean, I was always on edge.
Great. I think it was great.
I loved it. I want that sequel, but I keep feeling like it's never going to happen.
But there was the TV show on Amazon that lasted a season.
That was on Amazon?
Yeah, I think that was on Amazon.
Oh, that's where it aired. Okay, I didn't know.
Still, good movie.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Wednesday the 19th. John, don't spoil it.
Sorry.
Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers won.
First one.
Even though we honorable mention for the second one.
Oh, yeah.
The first one was what started it.
They're two completely different movies, but I think standalone, they're fine.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can watch the second one without seeing the first one, and you're like, oh, I understand.
I think it was a little less creepy.
Yeah.
Second one was a little
more action, less creepy, but
yeah.
Just, like, right off the bat, like, the first one, when, like, they go into his lair and stuff, like... That's like the first 10 minutes.
And then
I love his truck too.
Yeah.
Like, the license plate is awesome. Like,
and
be eating you.
And then at the end of the movie, the cave with all the bodies.
That's the beginning.
Oh, was that the beginning? No, they showed it at the end too.
You guys are great at like spoiling these movies before people watch.
Well, you don't know what happens at the end.
Yeah, no, I
didn't tell you. I just said what his lair.
He said at the end, but that's literally like the first 10 minutes. Like everything that I'm mentioning is the first 10 minutes. No.
Oh, either way, great movie. Yeah. Phenomenal movie. It actually made you scared a little bit, which is a plus, and then the creature is just the creature.
Yeah, the creeper is legit.
It's a good storyline.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the third one.
That was the one where it's like every 20 years he does a harvest. Yeah, every 23
years. Not children.
What was it going to say?
Body parts.
Body parts. The director is coming back to do the third one, and he's already working on it. But the thing is, I think he was in prison for like kiddie porn or something.
Well, no, back in the 80s, he got caught like... With like basically with a minor, kind of thing. But that was back in the 80s.
Was it?
It was cool back then.
It was fine.
He's had a little bit of legal trouble.
He hasn't really been able to get the third one off the ground, but it's still in the works.
Would be a great idea.
He wrote and directed both of them.
Yeah,
and so I mean, if it's still in his hands, so.
That just makes that movie creepier that he's like targeting. That was me. Sorry.
Someone's phone's not on silent.
Yeah, I forgot to. Anyways, it's like now it's even creepier that like Jeepers Creeper, the creeper in the movie is targeting like teenage kids.
He's not. Well, I mean,
there's like two, but that's
not who he hunts though. He hunts anybody. Like you said.
Anybody who has delicious body parts.
I like how you're defending the creeper, not the director.
Oh, fuck the director. Right. The creeper. I love the creeper.
Let's not dwindle on the creeper too much here.
Which one?
Well, pun intended. All right. Next, Sam.
All right. Next. This will be Thursday, the 20th. We have Saw 1.
The first. The good one.
Yeah. The only one you should watch.
This is more of a thriller than a horror, I would say.
Yeah, no, yeah,
it's kind of a whodunit.
But it's still a great horror because I remember seeing that and just being like, oh God, something's going to happen. Oh my God. And like.
It is a phenomenal concept.
Yes.
Phenomenal concept.
Great concept, well executed. I put this in, it's in the same boat as the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where it's such a gory movie, but there's like no gore.
Yes.
Like, there's no gore.
Well, there is, but there isn't. You don't need it to be freaked out.
Well, like, when he saws off his leg, you see, like, one scene of him actually sawing off the leg. When the guy gets the shotguns to the head, you don't see anything.
Yeah, but it's... No. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not... You don't need it to be freaked out.
Very Hitchcock-esque.
Whereas...
It's reminds me too so much of four? Alfred Hitchcock. It's great.
Saw 4 or Saw 5 is just a bloody mess.
Well, after the first one, it becomes basically gore porn or torture porn at that point.
Yeah.
Where it's like, let's torture these people on screen and let you see everything. Like, I don't want to see that. The whole imagination thing is so much stronger than actually seeing it.
All right. Let's get going.
All righty. Number 21, well, not number 20, day 21.
October 21st.
On Friday, we have Shaun of the Dead, another comedy.
Another comedy about zombies.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, they blend it together very perfectly. Nicely.
Yeah, that's one that's definitely not horror.
Yeah, but it is, though.
It's definitely, the first time you watch it, you are more all about making sure these people don't die than like ready to like laugh at the jokes. Like second time around, it's fucking hilarious. And the first time around, it's pretty funny too, but you're just so on edge that like, you kind of like can't follow the jokes as well, I guess.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. I agree with that.
No, but it's a good one.
I felt the same way during, was it the end or whatever, which the
this
third
is the
one.
End.
World's End. Yeah, like, World's End. I felt the same way where, like, first time around, I watched it, I giggled at a few parts, but other than that, I was, like, trying to pay attention to the story. Second time through, I laughed my ass off.
Mm, yeah. So, moving on, Saturday, the 22nd, The Descent.
Ooh.
Phenomenal movie.
Y'all, one of the scariest movies of the past 20 years.
I'd say 20 years. Definitely
back
freaky.
To, like of the new millennium at least.
So
for us unacquainted to this
it's
movie.
It's basically like, two movies. Think of it as two separate movies. Like kind of like so the first half is the first movie. The second half is a completely different movie. So the first half it's about
the
these girls who are it's about these girls who are spelunking, because I love that word. They're spelunking in a cave.
Sounds dirty.
I know.
And yet cute at the same time.
Yeah, it's like spelunking. so they're spelunking, and then there's a cave-in, and they have to find their way out. So it's like them panicking, and like people are getting hurt, blah, blah, blah. Then the second half, it's like all of a sudden they're like, oh, it's so dark. Light your thing. There's a fucking monster. And it takes a completely different turn where this becomes a creature feature.
So it's
and
a full movie.
It's
not two separate movies. It's
full
movie.
No,
and
but
you
but
can tell if you separate movies.
Right,
but, this
but,
is
but
one full
you
movie.
You go no, but I. That's not what I mean. I don't mean like this is where the first movie should end and this roll credits. No, I mean like you go into this and it's basically a thriller about these girls trapped in a cave. And like that's how it feels for the first like half of the movie. And then once that first monster is revealed, the whole movie takes on a different twist where they're trying to survive from these monsters.
All right.
It's
creepy as fuck.
Oh yeah.
You can either watch the American or the British version because the British version
It's the ending.
I'm sorry, it's just the ending. Apparently, the British version is not American enough.
We need a happy ending.
We need a happy ending.
Needs some burgers and boobs.
Not to spoil anything, but the British version is a little less happy. But we're not going to spoil anything. But great movie. Definitely great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. Just one last thing. Isn't that like about bugs?
No. Nope. No, you're thinking of the cave.
The cave is the one about bugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On Sunday, the 23rd, we're watching 30 Days of Night.
We needed a vampire movie.
Yeah.
Nosferatu is not worth it. This one. This one was pretty good.
No, for a vampire
movie.
Would
you say it sucks?
All right. Well, this one, I don't want to go into what the storyline is because we're taking up a lot of time. But 30 Days of Night, you can find it on Sci-Fi. It's a vampire movie that takes place in
Alaska.
And it's pretty much what it is. It's 30 days of night because in Alaska you don't get all the sun and stuff like that. But
it's like the beginning of their 30 days of night, and
so
vampires come to town.
It's like a bizarro version of Insomnia.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And
but still pretty good. Josh Hartnett.
Is Al Pacino
Josh Hartnett.
Vampire?
No. But these are non-English speaking vampires, and it came out same time-ish as Twilight, so you're used to these like sparkly vampires. These ones are like covered in blood and like super sharp teeth, leaping over buildings, super strength. It's They don't sparkle. Good. No, I actually enjoy this movie. Like,
no, it was good. You can find it definitely on Sci-Fi.
Oh yeah. They made a sequel. I don't recommend seeing that one.
But this one's pretty good. We recommended it. We needed something with vampires. So
yeah.
Next up,
my turn.
Oh yeah.
I finish off the list.
We're switching over to Sean.
Switching over to me. I get to start the good movies. Yeah, you're welcome.
You had a very good list going for you.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, the second half of our month, it like definitely picks up.
Yeah, we did try to ramp it up a little bit.
Yeah, you want to pick it up towards Halloween, like that. That's like your big push. So, on October 24th, we have Nightmare on Elm Street,
the original
Freddy Krueger,
1984.
I forget what year it is.
I forget.
I have the entire series in the basement.
It's definitely in the 80s.
Great movie. If you don't know who Freddy Krueger is, shame on you.
That's where Johnny Depp got. It is 84.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp got his start.
Yep.
And there's nothing.
Robert Englund made a name for himself.
Yeah, there's nothing really else you can say about Freddy Krueger and great. All that.
I mean, so many sequels.
Is that Blood Volcano?
Is that yes, one? That yep. is Blood Volcano. Great, great effect. Love it.
Great movie. Yeah. Great horror movie. It kind of started the genre. Well, it didn't start it, but it definitely progressed it forever.
Wes Craven's best. By far.
Okay.
No, name another one that comes close.
The third one down.
Scream, no chance.
Some people think it's better.
No,
some
it's
people
not.
Don't.
It's not. There's no comparison.
All right.
Anyways.
Well, we can debate this for hours, but right. We're going
to... October 25th, we have the American The Ring.
I think this was the scariest movie of the past 20 years.
This is up there, easily.
I think this one takes it. For me personally, this one takes the cake.
This one was terrifying.
It's so creepy.
Yeah.
So creepy. But it's...
I think...
They made a second one.
I never saw the second one.
That one was pretty good. It was okay. And then the third one got delayed until 2017.
Till next February.
Next February, yep.
So Ringu is the Japanese version of this movie.
Yeah. But the Ring American version is much better, I think.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've heard they're both very good.
The Grudge was creepy, Japanese version. American, not so much.
Right.
But the Ring
is one of those cross from Japanese to American where they did it right.
I think so. If not, if they made it better.
Yeah.
If anything.
Great, great movie. I almost said number because you guys screwed me up. October 26th, we have a classic that has already been mentioned on this list so far. You have the original, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
79.
76.
I feel like it's a 76.
We mentioned with Saw, this is known as the goriest film of all time, and there's like no gore.
Damn, you're right, Sam. 74.
Ooh.
Actually, this is before Halloween.
Yeah. So
this pretty much started.
Very gritty film. Really. Very, very gritty. Kind of like you could tell low budget, but it's awesome.
Freaks you the fuck out.
Yeah, it is freaky. Yeah, I don't know what else to really say about this movie. Like, this is a great
started a fad with the Leatherface and the chainsaw.
Yep, the chainsaw being scary.
So all those haunted houses who have chainsaws,
they owe it to that guy.
They owe it to that guy that are properly matched. Owe it to that guy.
Yes. So October 27th, we're starting on a light note here on that Thursday with one of the greatest horror comedies of all time. Also, probably one of Mel Brooks' best movies, Young Frankenstein.
Yes. Frankenstein.
Would you accept Frodrick Frankenstein? No, it's Frederick.
You can't say too much. You can't explain this movie. If you haven't seen this movie, then
this movie easily has some of the greatest one-liners of all time.
Oh yeah.
Luca. Yeah, like we could probably do a whole podcast where all we do is speak in one-liners from this movie, and it'd probably be like 20 minutes long.
In this movie too, like there's so much going on. Like I had a discussion with honestly one of my older coworkers at my old job about this movie and trying to figure out what was the best Mel Brooks movie. And he said this one, and there's like 1,000 references to things that, like, I'm sure Sam and John, your dad, picks up, and maybe you guys do too, to a little bit of extent. But, like, oh my God, it's just, it's like such on another level. It's crazy. Yeah.
And they're using the equipment from the original Frankenstein movie.
Yes.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. Mel Brooks or somebody doing it knew the guy who owned all the equipment.
What do you mean equipment? Like props or
the prop equipment,
cameras, stuff
okay. like in the laboratory.
The whole lab is the same.
Oh, really?
Set.
I don't think you really use the cameras again for that.
Yeah. That. Forget I said.
But
classic,
great,
classic,
great classic, great cast. Great, amazing cast. Like Marty Feldman, Gene Wilder.
Peter Boyle as the monster.
What's his face? The constable. Oh, I always forget his name.
Yeah, I forget his name.
He also does Triton on Little Mermaid. Sorry, I had to bring that up because Chris mentioned it earlier.
For you merheads.
So yeah, October 27th, Young Frankenstein. On October 28th, to go with the number theme, we went with 28 Days Later.
Also, another, we're into the zombie realm here.
Yeah, this is another zombie.
This is another zombie, and it offers a different take compared to others. So with the other ones, you have like Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, and their hordes. 28 Days Later, not 28 weeks later, but 28 Days Later has the concept of barren wasteland with few zombies, but it gives you that... You know,
I love the
there's
way
nothing
it was
left.
Yeah, I love the way it was shot because it's so gritty. But he filmed it with all handheld to give it that gritty look.
He?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He purposely wanted to make it like gritty like that. But I
definitely gave you the sense that nothing is alive.
Yeah, and
nothing is left.
I have to say, for me, this movie is fantastic. Because you never forget your first doctor, and Christopher Eccleston's in it, and I absolutely love that his character in that is so great. And then the theme Into the House from that movie, where it's just the piano slowly growing louder and louder.
Oh my god.
It is one of my favorite like movie themes of all time. Even in the sequel, where the guy's they're in the house and attacking all the people and he's running away from the house. That song's playing too. That song is such a powerful song and it's so simple. Like it's
sort of
like
the Halloween.
Four notes. Yeah, it's like four notes. Yeah. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. I love that movie. That movie, so awesome. The 28 Weeks Later is also a good one, but my favorite is still 28 Days.
All right.
Saturday, so we're on our last three
weekend,
so we're definitely picking up steam right now. Saturday the 29th, because you're gonna need a day to recuperate after this one, except for Chris, because he hates this movie for some reason.
This movie,
The Exorcist,
like the TV show.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, no,
I
haven't seen that one. No,
I have a DVR. I'll watch it.
Oh, okay. The original Exorcist, which is been voted the scariest movie of all time.
And that was late 70s as well.
Right. So this is a movie that has aged really well for a horror movie. Like,
okay.
Well, Chris disagrees completely.
1973.
Yeah.
Oh, 73.
But this is a really, really... Like, people still talk about it to this day. Not because of its sequels.
No, because of the pancake mix that came out the mouth.
No. It's a famous scene, it's the puke. But no, people still know this to this day, like her crawling down the stairs and stuff, like
the head turning.
Yeah. The head turning was a big one.
Like there's so much about this that is just so creepy and like scary.
It definitely affected the older generations, because in the 1973, you still had people who went to church every Sunday for, you know, their 2 hours, and they're very religious. And then you get this movie and it is complete antithesis of that. Yeah. So it made people that at that age freak out.
And, yeah.
You know, I guess it's scary to some people, but for me, it wasn't.
Plus you get the great line, the power of Christ compels you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just yell that at people.
Yeah. I respect it for what it was, but I personally just don't find it to be a good horror movie, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you're wrong. Anyway,
3 out of 4, we had to have 3 out of 4 votes.
No, I know. So on the 30th, because it's the dawn before Halloween. We went with 2003's Dawn of the Dead.
Yes.
This movie, I saw this movie in theaters when it came out.
I think we all did.
Yeah, it was after a Haunted Hill night, I believe. I didn't sleep for days because of the scene with the little girl in the beginning.
That was a good scene.
Holy crap. Like, that, I will watch that movie. I just skip that part. I'm like, I'll skip the entire beginning. Then the opening credits with Johnny Cash, the man comes around, we'll cut over to all the scenes of the people dying and like the news feeds and stuff like that. It is so awesome.
That was 2004, by the way. I'm sorry.
That was 2004.
I wrote down the wrong year.
Yeah. Either way, 2004 is Dawn of the Dead.
Ving
Rhames is in it. Like, I love his character. Yeah, it's such a great movie. Definitely better than the remake. That's one of those where it's not the slow moving zombies, but the fast running, fast paced zombies. And I think that was terrifying for me as well, because it's not like,
well, I don't think they had a zombie movie before then. Or they have had it, but I just don't think they've had a zombie movie from the late 80s up until 2004.
Where they ran.
No, I just don't think they had.
Or there was none?
I don't recall any standout zombie movie. Well, I know there was Night of the Living Dead.
They were doing a lot of Night of the Living Dead part whatever.
No, but I don't think it was during the 90s.
No, they did. There's a lot of.
I would need to research that, but I remember.
There's like 30 Night of the Living Dead.
No, I know that.
I think, though, it definitely rejuvenated the
zombies. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that it definitely freaked people out. Like, zombies are fast? What?
Yeah.
You know, fucking run.
You definitely saw a big.
And Zombieland's rule number two.
Yeah.
Cardio.
Yeah.
Or rule number one, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or no, it was real. Number one was Double Tap, I think.
Was it Double Tap?
I forget. It was either one or two. Okay.
Anyways, so on Halloween, we're going to watch Jaws. No, I'm just kidding. Halloween. We're going to watch Halloween on Halloween. Sorry,
John. See that coming?
Like, boom, like, drop that bombshell right there.
Specifically,
we're watching Halloween.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
It has nothing to do with Michael Myers.
Sean's a mask maker. It really connected with him.
So, this is the... I want to say this is not just because of the title, but this is the epitome of Halloween.
This is the boogeyman. The quintessential horror movie.
It's the boogeyman. Like, everyone knows Myers. Everybody knows the music. And it's because of this film. Like, everybody's still terrified of Michael Myers. We've proved it. You play it in a group of people and they freak out. The music.
I went into the office, I think it was like maybe a month ago. And I have had the Michael Myers ringtone for at least a decade. And I had my phone volume on up loud for some reason. I always turn it off before I go in, but for some reason I had it on. And somebody called me, and then it's all cubes, and I was standing up, and I had it out, and just, you should have seen how many eyes just, like, glanced at me.
Yeah.
Just in questions.
It's crazy that people still know the character to this day, and...
Oh, well, all the, you know, my mom watched this, and she was young.
But we're talking about, like, 10-year-olds know who Michael Myers is, and they're freaked out.
I mean, people think it's Jason, but
no.
Absolutely. Oh, okay, that's true. Like, incredible soundtrack too.
Yeah,
and then you have Donald Pleasant too.
Donald Pleasant was awesome.
He did so good as Loomis. And
one of my favorite quotes comes from Donald Pleasant from this movie. Someone asked him, "How many are you going to make?" And he's like, "I stop at 27."
Yeah. And his last one was kind of sad. Like that wasn't very good.
They just had to get him in there.
Well, no, it was just a bad movie altogether. Like, Curse of Michael Myers was just not.
It wasn't.
Good one.
It was weird.
Wait, they made too many of a horror movie franchise?
Well, no. Then they picked it up with, not H2O.
Resurrection.
Was it Resurrection or was
Resurrection was after? Resurrection was the last one, I think.
Or is that Jaws? I'm thinking.
Oh yeah. Okay. So
the Rob Zombies.
Yeah, so it was H2O was the next one. So basically, there was a big period between Curse of Michael Myers and H2O.
And Josh Hartnett.
Was he in that one?
He was in H2O.
Oh. And then, I mean, Resurrection, I loved it because of Busta. Love Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
Fucking up shit.
Put him who in was the other one? Whitney, it wasn't Whitney Houston.
It was Tyra Banks. Yeah. And she dies, God. Thank God. She dies. And it was great.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. All right. I was going to say I need to watch that one, but I'm like, no.
No, you don't.
No, I watch 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, not three. I know. Everyone avoid the third one.
Yeah, don't watch the third one. If you're watching it in order, skip 3.
It has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
There's a mask. It kills people. End of story.
And that's about it.
And like a strobe light or something. I don't know. Yeah. And Locust. But that is our list 1 through 31. So I've been updating this every day on our Facebook page. So if you forget a day or forgot to write this list down,
keep watching the Facebooks.
Yes, keep watching the Facebooks because every day I post which one is next.
That'd be facebook.com/KnightsofNerdtude.
Yes, you can also follow us on Twitter at KON Podcast.
So, all right, why the fuck isn't Jaws on this list? I kept on bringing up when we're going through, we're talking about every little, like, I don't know what the fuck Trick or Treat is. I'm like, yo, let's put Jaws up there.
So, it just
couldn't be. So fucking explain it here and
now. I wouldn't put this on this list only because
it's just not a Halloween.
For instance, you have a kid and he's or she is 12.
Mm-hmm.
So of these movies, which one would you substitute aside from a couple for Jaws in order to scare your child?
In order to scare what
would
my
you
child.
Which one would you substitute for Jaws,
of the scary movies, because the easy.
Well, no, I get, you know, get rid of Halloween Town, obviously.
Yeah,
and Monster House, those aren't really. But I mean,
I've never seen Halloween Town.
So. Yeah, I'm sure a 13-year-old would get freaked out by, you know, Trick or Treat, Dawn of the Dead, Exorcist, maybe not Young Frankenstein, but most of those movies. Whereas I think if I show them Jaws, they wouldn't be afraid.
I mean, maybe science?
But the thing is, I'm trying to get at this. Jaws was scary when it first came out. It was a horror movie when it first came out. Now I think that culture is just kind of adjusted to it, where if you show somebody that movie for the first time, they're not going to be afraid anymore. Jaws made people afraid because nobody knew what the fuck a shark was when it first came out.
Right.
So even though it was considered, you know...
No one went to the beach.
The highest grossing horror movie of all time. Idea. It was considered that. It's just, I think, culture has kind of adjusted to it. Not grown up, but is kind of desensitized to that type of fear.
No, that's a whale.
Does that make any sense?
No, Jaws is fucking scary.
It's a fucking whale. It's a dead fucking whale guy.
It's, baby whale.
I mean, when I watched Jaws when I was a kid, I don't think I was afraid. But when my mom watched it, when she couldn't go to the bathroom.
Wait,
for
so
a
you're
month.
Seriously saying you're afraid of like any of these other movies?
When I first saw some of these movies, I was probably more afraid than them.
Here's my way to finally like end this.
You're afraid of pie mist.
Ready?
Sorry.
Pie mist.
Yeah, you wrote pie mist, remember? You didn't write the mist.
Oh, I was too lazy with that. Yeah.
Here's the way to end this argument. I would watch Jaws around 4th of July during the summer.
Right.
And not during October when there's zero chance of me going to the beach. That's a summer movie.
You find yourself in space a lot, Sean?
Yes.
Abandoned hotels and ski resorts?
All the time, John.
A little Shining reference there.
Yeah,
shopping malls.
Here's another interesting thing too. That I read for horror movies. The original Terminator was originally designed to be a slasher film. So it was
Or is actually supposed to be like when you watch it?
Both.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, it was supposed to start off another like Michael Myers thing. But then it turned into an action sci-fi and not a horror thriller.
Hmm.
Well, I'm glad they went that way.
I don't know, because after 2, it kind of just ends.
Yeah, but that's just like, you know, half the movies on there that had more than one movie. After 2, it just ends.
No, it got bad after 2.
So Nightmare on Elm Street. After 2.
Was it the third one? No, the third one picked it back up again. And I absolutely love when Wes Craven revisited it and did New Nightmare back in the 90s. Great movie. Because it's a re-envisioning of Freddy Krueger, and it's awesome.
I
All right. All right. That's the list.
That's the list.
So that's the 31 days. Maybe if we even consider it, we can put all of our personal lists on the website.
Personal recommendations.
Yeah, we could maybe put those on the website. But yeah, you can follow us on Facebook at Knights of Nerditude or facebook.com/Knights of Nerditude. You can also follow us on Twitter at KON Podcast. Next week episode, we will do a Luke Cage review. It came out last week or last Friday, but we're not going to do anything today. We're going to do it next week, so that way it gives you time so we can spoil the shit out of that.
And Sam has watched it, so...
Yeah, Sam's...
I'm still got two episodes left.
Okay, you're further than most of us.
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll do a American Horror Story.
Yes,
as well, because we'll have a few episodes. And then we will do S.H.I.E.L.D., because we will also have a few episodes. And then I believe it's John's topic for next week as well.
Yep.
Yeah, if we don't skip over it.
Really upset about that.
Absolutely.
All right, until next time.
What's a shark?
Adios.
Good night.